You get to eat and drink what you want, generally, but some of the foods and beverages people seek are not so easily obtained. Raw milk is a prime example. Because of health concerns, it is difficult to get in the state of Oregon. Strict regulations abound. Yet some dairy farmers still offer it, or attempt to. One farmer ran into some trouble with the state and is now taking the state to court over the raw milk regulations. That is Christine Anderson, who owns Cast Iron Farm in McMinnville and is one of our guests on the Jefferson Exchange today. Christine, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And along with her is Michael Bindis, who's a senior attorney at the organization called Institute for Justice. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Christine, would you tell us a bit first about Cast Iron Farm, how long you've been in business, and what products you offer there?
Well, I've been a lifelong farmer. I grew up on a farm, and in 2008 I started milking dairy animals. And then in the last couple years, I have gotten really serious and have started offering, milk for sale just by demand of those around me. And we do a few other things on the farm, but the dairy is really my love and my main focus.
Big on dairy then. Okay. And Michael Bindis, tell us about the Institute for Justice and how you came to be connected to Christine.
Sure. We're public interest nonprofit law firm, which means we represent our clients free of charge. And simply put, we bring legal challenges to ensure rule of law that protects individual liberty and restricts the size and scope of government. So we heard about Christine's case and saw the free speech implications and contacted her. And her case is actually part of a broader initiative that we're launching to take on food regulations more generally.
All right. I want to talk about the food regulations and certainly about the free speech implications since we talk about advertising being a major portion of this case. Christine, tell us more generally, though, about why even offer raw milk? What do you find to be the benefits and why do people want raw milk?
People come to me for various reasons looking for raw milk. A lot of it is, this new or regenerating idea where people want to get their food from the source. They want to see the cow that their milk is coming from instead of, getting milk from a carton that comes from, many cows on a commercial dairy. So a lot of people come to me to be connected to their food. I believe that, milk comes out of a cow the way that it was intended to be consumed. And if you take the proper precautions, that is, that's the way that it was meant to be consumed. So, there's a lot of different reasons why people come to me, but for sure that's probably the biggest force.
But so the issue then is that the milk is not pasteurized. It never goes through the heating process that is designed to kill bacteria. And so when you talk about taking precautions, what kinds of precautions, if you're not pasteurizing, are taken to make sure that raw milk is safe?
We chill our milk very quickly. As soon as it comes out of the cow, it's on ice, and then the jars go on ice. So we get our milk cold really fast, so that halts the bacterial growth. We make sure that our cows are very clean, that they're fed a clean, diet, that they're in an environment where they're not laying in manure. We clean their udder very well before we milk them. And then I guess most importantly is that I voluntarily send off tests every month of my milk and post those results for my customers to see. And those tests tell you, they're bacterial tests that tell you what is in the milk and how much of it is in the milk. And that, those are the factors that could make you sick. And so doing that, shows you what's in the milk and, keeps me on my toes because we do it pretty much at random.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're self-testing on a pretty regular basis and pretty much any time, any place.
Yes.
So what are, you mentioned that the fact that you're providing information to your customers, but just trying to make a connection to a customer sounds like it's a fairly difficult process in Oregon. How does that transaction take place?
Well, like I said, I started dairying back in 2008 for my own personal health and family purposes. And as soon as word caught on that I had milk available, friends and family started asking for milk. And then it was kind of a snowball effect from there. But the problem being going from that line where you're doing it just for yourself into, okay, I'm going to actually make this a business. The cows are going to pay for themselves. People are demanding this. Let's make this a sustainable business for me as a farmer so I can make a living wage. So once you get to that point, not being able to talk about the product that you're producing becomes a very challenging, halt to the growth of a business.
But I want to establish the actual consumer pipeline here. I mean, the fact is you can't take the raw milk to stores, correct? You have to sell it directly from the farm.
Yes. And the milk, they have to come to the farm every single time that they pick up their milk.
And if there's no transporting, you can't even drop it off at their doorstep if you wanted to?
Nope.
Huh. All right. And how long have the regulations been in place on raw milk like that in Oregon? And is Oregon all that different from any other state, for that matter?
That's a question for Michael.
All right, good. Michael?
Sure. The current framework in Oregon has been on the books since 1999. Raw milk was regulated differently before that, but the regulations at issue in this case date back to 99. And with respect to other states, you know, most states do allow the sale of raw milk in some form. In some states, it's allowed. Retail sales are allowed, so you can buy it in grocery stores. In other states, it's limited. Oregon happens to limit it to small-scale farmers and to only, as you mentioned, on-site sales to customers. But as I said, more than half the states in the country allow the sale of raw milk in some form.
At one point, did Oregon allow retail sales? It seems like I can recall seeing raw milk in grocery stores, but obviously that would have been pre-1999. Did that ever happen?
The factor in Oregon is that it is possible to buy raw goat milk in the grocery store retail, as you can become certified as a grade A goat dairy. However, that's not a pathway for somebody who's milking cows. So perhaps you've seen raw goat milk.
All right, that's what it is. And we're talking to Christine Anderson, who owns Cast Iron Farm in McMinnville, and Michael Bindis, the senior attorney at the Institute for Justice, about a lawsuit on which they're working together against the state of Oregon and its regulations on raw milk. You can join this discussion on The Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So you had just mentioned then, Christine, about goat milk. So some goat milk can be sold in retail stores, but no cow milk. Is that right?
Yeah, there is an avenue through which a raw goat dairy can become grade A certified and thus, under the dairy code sell in a retail location.
All right. So how difficult was it to get set up in the first place to offer raw milk to customers? Given the set of regulations, and I mean, was it frequent inspections, lots of paperwork back and forth? How did it all work out?
No, I mean, Oregon is set up so that there is this exemption for a small producer, which essentially means that you can buy a cow and sell the milk from that cow without inspections or paperwork, and there's a limit on you're limited to two producing cows to be able to do that. So the setup in terms of the state wasn't difficult, but we did go to great lengths to set up a facility that that is, you know, state of the art, that is very clean, that's easy to clean. So that aspect of it was a little bit more difficult.
So limited to two cows. So what was your maximum customer base then? I mean, how many people would come looking for raw milk out of two cows? How many was the most you could accommodate?
You know, it totally varies because, you know, some families get a half gallon a week and some families get, you know, upwards of 5 gallons a week. My customer base is probably in the 50 family range at this point.
All right. So 50 families. But now one of the major issues, and this is really the key to the whole lawsuit issue, is what are the regulations on advertising?
That's a good question. So the law clearly states that you may not advertise the sale of raw milk. Which essentially means that I don't know, you know, that's a very vague regulation to put on somebody. So I took the route of, you know, I don't post flyers. We don't have even a sign in front of our farm that says that we are a raw milk dairy. But I did have a website that listed some information about my milk and my prices for milk. And I felt personally that was not advertising, and so that was last year. The Oregon Department of Agriculture came out to the farm and said that, you know, they wanted me to remove the prices because that was advertising, and, you know, that was strictly not allowed. So I was asked to remove that information, and then I kind of, from that point, I kind of, you know, have been second guessing, you know, what is advertising? I feel safe talking to somebody face to face about my milk. But beyond that, what else is advertising?
True. I mean, you get to this question of like, well, okay, if you're just mentioning what it is and what the prices are, does that amount to advertising? And just out of curiosity, what is the unit price for raw milk?
I charge $14 a gallon for milk.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so considerably more expensive than the pasteurized kind you find in the store and all those plastic and cardboard containers. So did you actually take the prices off the website at some point?
I did. I that day sat down and removed the prices from my website. I tried to comb through the website and kind of pull anything out of there that I felt might be construed as advertising, and then later went through another evolution where I removed almost all information about milking cows from the website, just so that it wouldn't be construed as advertising, which kind of brings up the other point of, you know, I had a, you know, 5,000 words up there on how we milk the cows and how we treat the cows and kind of the process that we go through to milk as an education point for customers. And does it make the customer safer in the end for them not to be able to receive that information?
Plus, you sound like you take a whole great deal of pride in what you do.
I just happen to love milking cows. It's not for everybody, but yes.
All right. So when was there, what was the turning point at which you decided that's it, this is going to a lawsuit?
Well, I kind of, you know, ever since I was asked to remove my prices, I kind of felt like I was walking on broken glass. And then earlier this year, that just the right turn of events brought the Institute for Justice and me together. And I was kind of in the right situation, and they were the right organization. And it's, you know, it's just the right time to make a change in this law that is vague and stops people from being able to talk about this product that is being seeked out in Oregon.
Raw milk production and advertising is the subject here in the Jefferson Exchange. Christine Anderson owns Cast Iron Farm in McMinnville. She is suing the state of Oregon over its regulations on raw milk with the help of the Institute for Justice, where Michael Bindis is the senior attorney. Our numbers here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Mark in Dillard. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Christine and Michael.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
There's an alternative way to sell raw milk I heard about one time, and that is to sell or rent a portion of the cow, because a cow's owner can drink that milk. Thank you.
All right, thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate it. And was this something you'd ever explored, Christine?
It is an avenue that I have gone back and forth on exploring. It involves a lot more legal paperwork to make sure that, you know, that you truly are selling a portion of a cow to somebody who then is, you know, collecting milk, not as something that is for sale, but as a, you know, as the upkeep kind of rent on the animal. I just kind of felt like in Oregon we are allowed to milk cows. There are some heavy regulations on it, but I just, you know, I have tried to just operate under that exemption, and that has worked for my business at this point in time.
And so, Michael Bindis, what's the way in which you're proceeding with the lawsuit at the Institute of Justice? I mean, was this Institute for Justice? Sorry, was this a no-brainer for the group to take on?
Absolutely. The Supreme Court has made very clear that similar advertising restrictions on other products are unconstitutional. The fact is, it shouldn't be a crime to talk about something that's legal to sell. The First Amendment protects the right of farmers and other entrepreneurs to advertise their products, and so when we heard about this, we were all over it.
All right, so this does become a free speech issue in your mind.
Absolutely.
And so, but it goes beyond that, because one of the first things you mentioned was wanting to change food regulations, which obviously are in place over the years because there were concerns about people staying healthy from the things they ate and drank. How far do you want to go in changing food regulations, particularly where they relate to raw milk in Oregon? Or do you not want to change the regulations so much as just the advertising?
Well, this case is about the advertising of raw milk and challenging this flatly unconstitutional ban. But you raise a good point. You know, government does have a role to play. When there are legitimate health and safety issues, the government can regulate in ways that actually advance the public health and safety. This regulation has nothing to do with health and safety. In fact, it undermines it. As Christine pointed out, if you can't talk about your products, consumers can't access accurate, truthful information about, for example, the lengths a farmer goes to offer a safe product. So this actually harms consumers because it denies them truthful, accurate information about the products in the marketplace, and it denies them the ability to compare one producer's markets products from another's.
Are there other farmers involved in the case?
No, Christine is the lone plaintiff in this case, but the regulation certainly affects many farmers across the state.
And what level of where are you filing this?
We filed this in federal court in Oregon, and it's brought under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. So it's a federal free speech challenge filed in federal court.
Okay. In the Portland?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So any idea when there might, has there been a hearing yet or anything like that?
No, we filed the case last week, as I mentioned, part of a broader food freedom initiative that we also launched last week. And I suspect that, the judicial process obviously takes some time to play out, but I think sometime in early 2014 we'll have an argument and get to the merits of the legal questions here.
Okay, so expand our scope a little bit here, Michael Bendis, and let us know what else is involved in this food freedom initiative.
Sure. Well, the purpose of the initiative is to end government's meddlesome and unconstitutional interference in our food choices. And so as an opening salvo in this initiative, we filed Christine's case last Tuesday along with two others. One of those other cases is a challenge to the state of Minnesota's severe restrictions on homemade food entrepreneurs. These are folks who make and sell home canned goods and home baked goods. Minnesota severely restricts their ability to do that. And the third case we filed is a challenge to a Miami Shores, Florida ordinance that prohibits front yard vegetable gardens. And we're challenging that on behalf of a married couple who for 17 years grew vegetables for their own consumption in their yard. And earlier this year, the city came out and cited them and actually ordered them to destroy the source of their sustenance. So these three cases I mentioned are the first cases, but just part of what will be an ongoing nationwide campaign to challenge these sorts of regulations.
Was the Miami Gardens case about codes and that sort of thing, about what is appropriate for a subdivision or something like that?
It's a zoning issue. Essentially, the city maintains that vegetables are inconsistent with its aesthetic character, yet it allows fruit, flowers, flamingos in front yards, just not vegetables. So that explanation doesn't really, doesn't quite hold up.
What about garden gnomes?
Perfectly fine.
Interesting. Okay, so you can have the gnomes out there, but not the vegetable garden in the front.
Yeah. No veggies.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there must be some limits to how far you're willing to go with the campaign, the food freedom campaign here, because again, there are some reasons for having certain food regulations in place for public safety. And then the
sure.
Minnesota case probably comes a little closer into this because you want to know about the kitchen that this stuff is coming from, et cetera.
Sure. There, as I mentioned before, government has a role to play, and if it's legitimately regulating in ways that advance the public health and safety, then we're not going to challenge that sort of regulation. But the kind of regulation that Christine faces has nothing to do with public health and safety, and again, if anything, it undermines it.
All right. And Christine, did anybody at the Agriculture Department actually specify all the things you had to take off the website, or did they simply say your advertising changed this, and then you interpreted what that meant?
I was very specifically asked to remove the price of my milk from my website.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was at that point that I kind of sat down and was trying to figure out, okay, what is advertising, what is not advertising. So we didn't go into specifics beyond the price, but I felt, I felt like if I was running a successful business at that point and I didn't want to get into a position where it was going to go any further. So I just chose to remove anything that could possibly be construed as advertising at that point.
This certainly raises the question of how far things are considered advertising. I mean, if it ends up being word of mouth, if you meet somebody at a bake sale having nothing to do with your business and they say, what do you do? And you say, I sell raw milk. Really? I'd like to buy some. And you give them the details. Are you then advertising?
That's a great question.
The fact is the state doesn't even define the term. So you have this bizarre situation where, on one hand you have the state telling Christine she has to take certain information off her website, and then there is other information, tucked away on other pages of the site that she now has to second guess. And it results in self-censorship, essentially, because it's unclear. And that chilling effect is, you know, just as unconstitutional under the First Amendment.
So the relief you're seeking here is just a change in the advertising regulations, or are you taking on a broader view of the whole milk regulations? I mean, the raw milk?
This lawsuit is attuned to the advertising restriction, and we're simply seeking a declaration from the court and an injunction that prohibits the state from enforcing the advertising restriction.
And so, Christine Anderson, what has been going on with the business while all the legal stuff is ramping up?
Hey, we're milking cows every day, just like normal.
Nothing has changed there, huh?
No.
And how about the customer base? Has that fluctuated at all, or you pretty much got the same people buying milk?
You know, I have some very, very amazingly loyal customers in the McMinnville area. There has been, since we have been more public with this case, I have been getting phone calls from all over the state from people saying, oh, you're a raw milk producer. How do I find one? Because of this advertising ban. So there are definitely people out there seeking it, but I have some amazingly loyal customers that say they're not going anywhere.
That is a good question to end on, though, is if somebody does want to find raw milk, how do they locate a farmer who has it?
Know somebody who's producing milk, and hopefully soon those producers who are ready to stand up and have high standards will be available, not being regulated.
All right, so you got to know somebody who knows somebody, basically is what it gets down to. Christine Anderson owns Cast Iron Farm in McMinnville. Michael Bindis is senior attorney at the Institute for Justice. Thank you both for joining us today to talk about raw milk.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure. Mm-hmm.
That'll do it for this first hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Hour 2 and The Boy Who Flies coming up.